Grace to you, strength and joy from Jesus Christ our King. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk to you about the journey of the Christian. A Christian's journey through life, our journey following our Lord and Captain and King Jesus Christ as he leads us through this world. And especially what I'd like to look with you at, are we on a journey? Where are we going on that journey? And in particular, where does Jesus, our captain at our head and lead, where does he direct the eyes of our hearts to train our eyes as we go through the journey with him? Are we to direct it forward, backward, up, down? Let's take a look and see what Jesus would teach us about this. He has a very consistent theme throughout his scriptures, and it's very important for us and refreshing and great. So let's take a look at this today, the Christian's journey. First of all, let me ask you a question. Are you on a journey with Christ? Are we on a journey through this world? Well, you know, if you look at Scripture, open up God's Word, God calls us people to journeys all the time throughout history. I'll give you a couple examples here, like Abraham, when he was called Abram in Genesis 12, says the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." So he called him to go out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, says Hebrews 11, not knowing where he was to go. So did Abraham go on a journey? God called him to it. If we look over here at Exodus chapter 3, God's people are in Egypt, and he appears to Moses at the burning bush. "I've seen the affliction of my people in Egypt and heard their cry because of their taskmasters, etc. I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." So did God call Moses and Israel to a great journey? In fact, it took them 40 years, but they eventually arrived at the promised land. We also look over in the New Testament here when Paul and Barnabas and the church are praying there at Antioch, we read, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them.' So after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus," etc. So does God call people on journeys? Yes or no? Absolutely he does. Does he call you and me on a journey? Well, remember when he went to the disciples, he finds Peter and James and John. He says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And he found Matthew sitting in a tax office and he says, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. Then he found Philip. We read in the Gospel of John, he says, "Follow me." But to us, Jesus says this. Let's open up to John chapter 8. He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So are you and me, are we called on a journey? Amen? Yes? We certainly are. Now, to where are we called? Where are we going? Where is Jesus leading us? Let's open up again to the scriptures and just take a look here at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Where we read, "Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous one for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." So you tell me, where are we going? According to that verse, they might bring us where? To God, to heaven, from this world to the one that is above, from the old world to the world that which is to come, his eternal kingdom. So if you want to think of it, we're sort of like the pilgrims in early America. You know, in 1620, they left old England, the old country, old Europe, where they were oppressed, and they undertook a treacherous journey across trackless seas and vast ocean expanses, raging tempests and whirling winds and threats and dangers, to undertake that journey to leave the old place, the old world, to sail for a new worlds where there was a better place and a better life promised them. We're ultimately these pilgrims. For what does the scripture say of us? of the saints, it says, these all died in faith, not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar, and having acknowledged knowledge that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Are you a stranger and an exile on this earth? Are you a pilgrim passing through this world to the one which is to come? This is what Jesus has called us to. We don't belong to this world anymore. I chose you out of this world, Jesus says, to be my own. And we're going somewhere. He says, I'm going before you. And he says, if it weren't so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? When I go and prepare a place for you, you know, up there, I'll come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So are you a pilgrim? Yes or no?
Yes.
Are you a traveler?
Yes.
Are you a journeyman, just passing through the great wilderness of this world? Are we stalwart sailors setting out from an old world, the life of sin and death and the devil's dominion, and we're setting sail with Christ to a new world where he's bringing us to? It says, people who speak thus, this is Hebrews 11, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. The saints are seeking another country. If they'd been thinking of that land from which they'd gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they, that is the saints, desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Do you see a city in your future, friends? Oh, there's a city in your future, and Jesus is taking us there. So what's Jesus then say we're to expect to meet with on this journey? What kinds of things are we to see as we travel with him? Well, first of all, Jesus says, you're going to have great joys because thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy, says Psalm 16. You're also on this journey going to have great good deeds of adventure, for Jesus says, where I am, there shall my servant be also. And I have chosen and appointed you that you should go and bear fruits, and that your fruit should abide. That's beautiful. Also, there's times of refreshment, for the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. That's Proverbs chapter 4. But you know what else we're going to meet with on this journey? Dangers, trials, troubles, raging tempests, and many enemies, many devils set in our way along this path. Now, if you were the pilgrims in the old early America setting out from 1620 from England, they left old England and undertook a very treacherous journey. There were raging tempests. There were great storms, high mounting waves and deep troughs. The dark, cold, wintry North Atlantic. They were sailing basically in November, more or less. And they faced hunger, thirst on their journey, and also the potentiality of pirates, which abounded in those days. What are we going to face? You know, you're going to have great times, but you're also going to face hardships, difficulties, dangers, possible pirates, in fact, definitely pirates, namely, wicked fallen angels. Do you know that the devil and Apollyon, the great destroyer, they would seek to drag you off the ship and plunge you back into the sea and not have you reach the new world. So Jesus calls us to stir up our courage. And he says, I've redeemed you. I've saved you through my cross and resurrection. Follow me. I've saved you by faith. But remember, it's through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. Amen? Are you guys going through something today? Is journey hard for you? Maybe you're at a more peaceful moment. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm right now. But you're going to meet one day or another, because enter by the narrow gate, says Jesus. The gate's wide and the way is easy. It leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow. The way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So the way that we're to expect is hard. Are you ready for that? Ready for a hard journey? Well, you've been on it for many days so far. Let's keep going. So when we meet with dangers, trials, troubles, tempests, devils, enemies, and such things on our journey, here's the main point for today is, where does Jesus want us to fix and train the eyes of our hearts? What do you think? Backwards, forwards, up, down? What's Jesus tell us about these things? Well, let's take a look. Very good. Number one, Jesus says, never look back, so as to turn back on your journey, to look back to old England, as it were, as if you had a better life there, to your old world, to the old nature, to the old ways. And why should we never look back? Answer is, Jesus, can you picture him on the ship? Can you picture yourselves on the ship? Jesus, your captain, says, because our destination does not lie behind you, but lies before you, before us, over the horizon. That's where we're going. Therefore, never turn back. And Jesus says this many times through the scripture. If you look over here at Exodus chapter 14, remember, they met a very hard place, Israel, because they just left Egypt. They're just fresh on their journey. And what happens? God turns them back by the Red Sea. And suddenly they look behind them and they see Pharaoh and all his hosts with all the chariots, like a great storm with dust clouds coming after them and mounting up over the hill. And all Israel got afraid. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were in great fear. Wouldn't you be? Now, what would you think at that point? Why did we ever come out on this journey, they were thinking. God didn't like that very much. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't this great? I mean, the sea is in front of them. And God says, tell the people to go forward. Into danger, into an ocean. But God parts the sea and provides a way through for them. If you're meeting a raging tempest, and you will, at least someday, if not right now, and an enemy, like Pharaoh, coming after you, which way does God want you to go? Backwards or forwards? Why cry to me? God says, go forward. You know, when I was thinking about this week, I thought about the seagulls on the beach. You know, whenever you look at the seagulls on the beach, where are they pointing? Always in one direction, straight into the wind, right? If you go out and you see crows, they're all just milling about in every different direction. But the seagulls, they're all pointed in a direction. You know, God's people are to be pointed in the direction forward, not just milling about like crows in every which direction. Jesus says, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And we also see, Peter says, don't look back, let the times that are past suffice for doing what the Gentiles like to do. You know, your old life of sin. Let the times that are past suffice for that. Don't go that way anymore. And what's Peter saying? I'm sorry, Paul saying in Philippians 3? One thing I do. Say that, one thing. One thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, do you hear the word forward coming out as a theme throughout God's scriptures? Now, why do we have to hear this like time and again through scriptures? Don't look back, don't look back, don't look back. You know why? Because when life gets hard, it's easy to be tempted to look back, right? I mean, it's easy if the weather's beautiful and, you know, the pilgrims are sailing up on a beautiful blue day and they're heading over the ocean. Sure, let's go to the new world. But as soon as those dark storm clouds rise and the sky turns black and the seas mount up to heaven and lightning flashes and streaks through the sky, then you might think about turning back, or if the pirates are after you. But look at how this is a temptation throughout Scripture. If you look at Israel, God called the people on a journey, right? Out of Egypt to the promised land. What happens at the first sign of trouble? They're like, manna? Why do we have to eat this manna all the time? Oh, we remember the cucumbers, the onions, the garlic. I'm talking like an Italian here. or Jew, I don't know. But they were immediately thinking backwards to slavery and to their destruction because it looked easier back then. That would be like the pilgrims crossing the Atlantic on the New World thinking, oh, these stale biscuits. Thinking of going back to old England where they were oppressed, when in fact they forgot that there was a new world to which they were headed, a land of freedom and a better one. Let's take a look at another passage in Scripture where someone turned back. Genesis chapter 19, we read in verse 17 and following. Angels came down from heaven to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. Remember that story? And God, the angel, through the angels, called Lot out. He said to him and his family, "Flee for your life. Don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Flee to the hills, lest you be consumed." And then they left Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. Verse 26, watch carefully. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Can you picture that? They're walking, they're leaving. Behind them is just disaster and plumes and billowing smoke. But they're walking, and she turns to look back and becomes salt. Wow. Now, why did she turn back? Was she curious? Was she loving and remembering her old home? I'm not sure the reason why, but it didn't look good for her. Didn't do good for her to turn back. She became a pillar of salt. And imagine if your Lot, your wife whom you love, she's behind you, turns to a pillar of salt, but he can't look back. He's got to continue to go forward, lest he turn to a pillar of salt. That's amazing. God says, go forward. Your life is before you. Remember Demas in the New Testament? He's a guy that followed with Paul for a while. And even Paul said in Colossians 4, Luke the beloved physician and Demas greet you. He was a friend. He was going with Paul. But if we turn over here to 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, we read, Paul tells Timothy, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Did Demas turn back? Yes or no? Say yes or no. Did Demas turn back? Yes, he did. He went back to the, because he loved the old worlds. He turned back across the sea and went back to England, went back to Egypt, went back to slavery, and he was not saved. For Jesus says, he who endures to the end will be saved. And Paul tells us elsewhere of other people, join in imitating me and mark those who live as you have an example in us. For many of whom I've often told you, and now tell you even with tears, now they live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. So if you're pilgrims and you're on an ocean right now, and Jesus is at your head, can you see him before you, standing at the bow of the ship, the prow bowing and curtsying in the waves, the wind flapping across his, blowing his hair and his cape? Where is he looking? He's looking forward. And he wants you to look forward with him, not backwards, because behind you lies only destruction. Do you know people today that have been plucked, that Christ has plucked out of the sea as castaways? And sin brought them aboard a ship of his salvation, only for them to turn and back and plunge themselves back over into the side, into the sea, again to be lost. Have you known such people? I've seen people. I've brought people to Christ. I've seen people that I brought to Christ. Over time, they left church, absented, and went back, and I can't even see that they're even in Christ anymore. They're not following with him. Maybe you've known such. I've felt tempted at least to turn back from the direction Christ was leading me through life. I remember when I was on internship up there in Wisconsin, which we call Vicarage, it was so hard. I mean, like, sermons, they're so difficult. And I thought back on my old life of sailing tall ships. I was like, that was much easier. Should I go back? But then, you know what? I thought on the words of the Lord, and that a Christian is not a quitter. And that a Christian's a warrior, a Christian's a stalwart sailor, and a Christian always goes forward. And if Christ is leading forward, come hell or high water, I'm going forward with him. Amen? So God kept me, praise God, and here I stand before you today by his grace to the new world. You know, it's so easy to talk about these things today if you're feeling great when the skies are blue, but when that deck starts to pitch and roll, and you begin to be tossed this way and that, and then streaks of lightning flash, and pirates chase after you, then it's very hard to remember not to look back. But if we are ever tempted to look back, let's remember this. You ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Awesome book, Christian. At one point, we read that in the Valley of Humiliation, poor Christian was hard put to it. For he'd gone but a little way when he espied a foul fiend coming over the field to meet him, his name Apollyon, this dread dark angel. Christian did begin to be afraid, to cast his mind whether to go back or to stand his ground. But as he considered again, he considered that he had no armor for his back, and therefore thought to turn back to him might give him greater advantage with ease to pierce him with his darts. Therefore he resolved to venture and stand his ground, for he thought, had I no more in mine eye than the saving of my life, it would be the best way to stand. In other words, what am I saying to you? All the armor that God's given to you and me to stand as Christians is for our front. Amen? Think about that. The shield goes forward. The helmet goes forward. The breastplate goes forward. The sword goes forward. The shoes go forward. The belt goes forward. If you turn back against the foe, you have no armor for that in retreat, because God says, Christians, our way is forward to a beautiful new world. There's no armor for your back, so don't turn back. Besides, God says, behind you is only destruction. It's Pharaoh, it's Egypt, it's slavery, it's death, it's Sodom and Gomorrah, it's old England. Your destination, can you hear this today, lies before you. Jesus says, go forward, my people. Do not look back. Does that mean we can never look back to anything, you think? Never look back at our past? Well, God actually says, our captain, don't look back so as to go back or turn back, but you can look back to draw strength into your present. Have you ever done this? Remember David when he's about to face Goliath? And he goes up to King Saul. And Saul says, you can't stand against him. He's a giant. And he's been a man of war from his youth. And you're but a youth. And what does David say? He recalls his past. He says to the king, King, your servant David used to fight bears and lions when they came against the flock, and I used to grab the bear or the lion and take him and strike him and save the sheep. Your servant has fought both lions and bears, and this Goliath, this giant, shall be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. And then he goes forth and beats Goliath. Do you think you could do the same thing as Jesus called you to look back to your past and say, you know, he saved me back then, I'm going to go forward with him today? You know, when I looked at, even at this sermon this week, I had a very busy week and my computer was down, right? How am I going to do this, Lord? But it came to mind, God's never failed me in the past, 1,000 sermons, he's going to give me this one too, this Goliath should be like one of them. You know, you can draw strength from your past. Remember that show, Mutiny on the Bounty with Clark Gable? Oh, he's a good-looking guy, right? But at one point, you know, Mutiny, Fletcher mutinies, Captain Bligh is cast adrift. And at one point there, Captain Bligh with his men are on this little open boat. They have 2,500 nautical miles to get to their nearest port of call. At one point, one of his crew, Bligh's crew, says, Sir, it's too far, we'll never make it. And Bligh, turning into a hero, says, don't let your mind dwell on that, lad. Think of how far we've come. You know, if the journey ahead of you seems very far, can you hear Jesus Christ saying that to you today? When you think about how far it is to go and it seems so difficult, he says, don't let your mind dwell on that, lad. Think of how far we've come. Think of those trackless miles, those many adventures, those dangers that we've already come through. As Amazing Grace also says, through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. God, your grace has brought me safe thus far, and your grace will lead me home. Remember that once you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you hadn't received God's mercy, but now you've received it. Christ died for you, rose again. You're justified by faith alone in him. You've come through many dangers, and enemies have come against you, and you stand and you're in church to this day. Christ says, think of how far we've come. And we have not much further to go. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you, Proverbs 4. And say with Paul, forget what lies behind, and strain forward to what lies ahead. Press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, do you feel the winds on your faces right now? A fresh breeze? And do you know that you're nearly already there? Why would you turn back now, when you've come so far? If you think of Jesus, when he gave the promises, that was 2,000 years ago. We're 2,000 years near to the promises all coming to fruition and to pass, to arrive where he's told us to sail. It'd be crazy to sail back to England when you're only 20 miles off the coast of America. Don't turn back now. The new world is so close. And can I tell you how close it is? You know, in the old days, if you don't know me, I used to sail tall ships. Some of you are new today. I used big sailing ships on the sea. On my first tall ship, I was on the westward, and we left Florida. We'd gone to the Bahamas. Then we sailed to Bermuda. Then we sailed to Nova Scotia. Then we were back sailing down to Cape Cod, and I thought, this is my childhood dream, okay? I'm on a tall ship heading to Cape Cod. But we hadn't seen it yet. All these miles. So I climbed up into the high parts of the rigging of the ship, 70 feet or so. They're hidden behind the billowing fisherman's staysail, looking down on the ship, crashing through the waves. And all I could see before me was a field of straight blue. But I knew that we were heading to Provincetown Harbor, and there was a spire there, a tower, that would rise up over the horizon, and I wanted to be the first to see it. Well, I waited up there for an hour, 2 hours, maybe more, when finally I spied it, rising up out of the sea, and there was that spire. And I could call down to those on the deck, there, I see it. You know, Cape Cod, Provincetown, straight ahead, the spire. I could give inspiration to the people on the crew, because I was higher, and I could see further. Can I tell you right now and do this for you? I'm going to climb up into the rigging of Scripture. We're almost done here, so listen up. I'm climbing up into the rigging of Scripture, and what do I see? We're almost there, friends. I spy with my eye, not my little eye. I see a king. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist. Faithfulness, the girdle of his loins. I see on that shore the wolf and the lamb. They're lying down together, and a little child shall lead them. I see over there that they shall not hurt or harm on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I see before us a new heavens and a new earth, and the old heavens and earth, they've gone away. I see a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And what do I see before us? I see God dwelling with his people, and he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. I see all things new. He who sits upon the throne speaks it. And guess what? I see a city before us. Its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. I can see the foundations of the wall of the city are adorned with every jewel. And the streets of the city are pure gold, transparent as glass. Can you see these things with me? I'm up in the rigging of Scripture. Climb up there with me. These are promises of where we're heading, friends. Don't turn back. Eyes forward. For there I see there shall be no more any curse, anything accursed. But I see the throne of God. The Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall worship him. We shall see his face. His name is going to be written on our foreheads. And night shall be no more. I see there shall be no need of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and we shall reign with him forever and ever. Do you want to go back now after all this? There's nothing behind you. This is all ahead of you, and it's so close. It's coming very quickly. Don't turn back now. Eyes forward. And not only forward, but also not down, but up. Because Jesus is above us and before us and with us. He says, I'll never fail you, never forsake you. I'm with you always to the close of the age. So we'll conclude with this word from David, Psalm 16, which should be our word today. He says, I keep the Lord always before me. Because he said, my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, my soul rejoices, and my body also dwells secure. For he does not give me up to Sheol, or let his godly one see the pit. He shows me the path of life. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In Jesus' name.